The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try.
We're back, folks. You're listening to the National Intel Report. Here in hour two, Richard Carey filling in for John Stadmiller here on this Friday, 29th of October already, 2021. And I'm here with guest Paul in California today. At the moment, we have a caller on the line. We're speaking with Derek in Florida. Hello, Derek. Yeah, you said you had some other point you wanted to make, sir.
Yeah, I was doing a ride service. I was driving for a ride service, and I took this guy to the bank, and he's wearing a mask, walks in with a mask and a duffel bag. He goes into the bank. I parked, and I didn't really pay attention whether he took it off or what. I parked, and not too much longer, he comes out wearing a mask and a duffel bag. And I said, did you just walk into the bank with a mask and a duffel bag? He goes, yeah. I go, did you have an appointment or anything? No. I said, unreal. And then I'm driving him home, and he gets this call. He goes, yeah, I'm almost home. And yet, I felt it vibrating. Turns out the guy had on an ankle brace, ankle monitor. It started vibrating because he was too far away from the house. Black guy, too. You just walked into a bank with a mask and a duffel bag, and you didn't get shot.
Wow. Well,
that actually happened.
If you want to just bear with me for a minute or two, because it kind of made me, you know, what we're talking about and the questions you asked made me want to just give a little brief tutorial, but just to remind you and all the other listeners, you know, that it can be made, you can distill it down and keep things simple in your mind, because it's easy to be confused by these people. They deliberately try to confuse. And even when you read law, case law, and you start, you know, you read a little bit out of history, and, you know, can also be confusing. However, when the stated purpose of these courts and the government is revealed, you can keep it simple, and then you can sort of understand the predicament that we're in. Because it's actually been revealed in actual court decisions before, as well as the writings of a lot of these people. Most people don't really know what the stated purpose of the government is or the courts. And they're essentially one and the same. And here it is. And they've actually, you can find it out for yourself. To preserve and protect individual rights. That's pretty much it. Now, you know, people can argue about promoting the general welfare, and of course, if you preserve and protect individual rights in a way, you are promoting the general welfare. But essentially, the courts are limited in their function, okay? Their whole purpose is to preserve and protect individual rights, and that's the purpose of most laws when you think about it. So the other one that I always like to keep in mind is that people have all rights, government has limited powers. This is actually, you know, what the founders talked about, the whole concept of having the Constitution. They said that the government was to be bound by the chains of the Constitution. But, again, everybody should burn that into their brains about people have all rights. Government has limited powers. And, of course, you can see what it is they're trying to get you to believe. And the fact of the matter is everything they're doing now is by bluff. They don't have the force or the force of arms to carry out almost everything that they're telling us. They don't have the force to make people close their businesses. They don't have the force to make you stay home or shelter in place. They don't have the force to make you wear a mask or to do anything else, but they want you to think that that authority exists. And here's the other thing you need to burn into your brain, because it's absolutely true, and I've said it for many months here in California to many different people. The authority to require you to wear a mask does not exist. It does not exist in the law. The authority to require you to take a vaccine does not exist. It does not exist in the law. And there's actually case law that says that any kind of forced medical intervention is unlawful. The other thing that, again, is worth, you know, bearing in mind about the current situation, the current predicament, and these things that I've just stated, is the fact that we don't have to do what they say unless we agree to it. Everybody hears about the consent of the governed. Well, it's actually a real thing. And when you talk about... For example, such thing as a mandate or you have to do something, this in the law is known as a requirement or an obligation. In the law, obligation and requirement are the same thing. So when they say masks are required, right, that's the same thing as you're obligated to wear a mask. And in the civil codes in most states, and certainly in the civil codes in California, obligations can arise by one of two ways. One, as a matter of law or operation of law, and the other is by contract. So the only way you can be forced to do something, as in you are obligated to do it, okay, is by operation of law or contract. And in almost all of these cases, whether it's mask or vaccine, neither one of those exists. There aren't any contracts that any union has with any of these companies that requires their employees to take a vaccine. None. It's not in there. They wouldn't put it in there. Just like there isn't any clause in any agreement to wear a mask for an employer. So, again, this is just, you know, I'm trying to clarify things and, you know, thanks for the ear.
Yeah. So you said universal, you said common law and what else?
Well, so, I mean, statutory law. So we brought over a history of common law. The history of common law is from England, okay? And common law essentially is this. Is there has to be an injured party and an act with intent. In other words, if I just trip and I bump into you and it's accidental and you're not really hurt, well, there's no cause of action. But if I push you down, I knock you down, okay, and especially if there's somebody sees it, that's an act with intent, and if you're injured, now there's a cause of action. The cause of action could be both criminal or civil. So common law basically says that there has to be an injury, okay? There has to be an injured party, right? And the act would have to be intentional. So, for example, if I run into you accidentally, that's going to be civil. But if I push you or hit you intentionally, that's criminal. So people get confused, but common law essentially... Sort of the derivation is natural law and or common sense, right? So this just, in other words, it's trying to take human behavior and say, okay, what is actionable in the courts and what is just normal part of living? So again, to have something become actionable for a court of law, you'd have to have an act with intent and injury. If there's no injured party, there's no cause of action.
So is that why they're not enforcing masking, walking down the road, down the sidewalk?
Well, again, these are...
Why are they enforcing that? I guess I'm slow on the uptake.
You're talking about wearing a mask, walking down a road. I don't know the law. You tell me it exists, so I take you at your word. I would imagine...
Yeah, I mean, just look up Chapter 876. You'll see it. It's got midway down. Or about 12.
Okay.
Right at 12.
Yeah, so you've done, not very you've done long. Your homework. Right.
Well, I just looked it up.
So then
you know,
you're...
As far as I've got it, I'm just like, hey, if this statute is if it's enforceable, then everybody's breaking it. And if everybody's allowed to break it, which other statutes are we allowed to break because of this so-called pandemic?
Well, out here in California, you're allowed to steal up to $900 here, so, you know, out of the store.
Well, listen, we really appreciate your call and the interaction. We have some other callers. Well, thank you, Derek.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Keep studying, Derek. Keep studying.
And let's go to JR in Georgia. Thank you for holding, JR. And what's on your mind today, sir?
Good evening, gentlemen. We're living in a banana republic, a state of fascism. People need to understand that. I understand everything you've discussed previously with the other callers. I'm fully aware that all of this is a bunch of BS. There's not been a legislative body in these 48 states on the continental continent pass a law mandating wearing a mask. In fact, in the state of Georgia, there is a law on the book. You cannot wear a mask in public. Going back to the end days of the KKK. But one of the main points I wanted to drop in tonight and say is many people really don't realize late this on a Friday afternoon, this news came out. That is the Supreme Court in the United States of America just denied to hear a request from a Maine healthcare group to place an injunction against the vaccine mandates. We have no reprieve. We are voiceless at this point in time. And I do not believe Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's how they're doing it. They declined to hear, just like they declined to hear the extremely valid Texas case in the election. They just declined to hear it. They'll make something up about you don't have standing. So one of the things I didn't say when I went on my rant about law, and it could just be, you know, this could be a three-hour show. It could actually be several three-hour shows because that's how much time I have into it. And believe me, there's plenty more people that are much more well-versed than I am. But when you actually sit down and you look at the whole picture and you read particular cases and you read court decisions, which are known as case law, you pretty quickly come to the conclusion that this is a fairly rigged game, and they're all about protecting monopolies and power. I mean, some of the court decisions I came across in the various issues, you had to read them twice. You had to read them again and say, did they really just write that? Did they really just say that? And do they really think that? Do they really believe what it is they're saying? And it was hard for me to conclude that they did, based upon the obvious contradictions in logic. So, the system is rigged. I don't think there's any. We don't have any remedy in the current system. The courts exist to enforce state power and corporate power, and almost without exception, there's going to be an honorable, decent judge here and there that might make a ruling that will surprise you. It does happen. But overall, the cavalry is not coming. We have to resist. We have to resign. We have to say, okay, you want me to take a vaccination? Take this job and shove it. See you later.
Regarding the PCR tests being meaningless, regarding the shots and how much the danger from the shots outweighs anything that's out there, I mean, we're hearing doctors and lawyers confirming that the doctors won't take any cases because they know that the courts are not filled with judges who will hear things fairly. You know, just like any of the election fraud evidence was thrown out by the courts when that came upon them, this is pointless. And until they see something different, we hear a lot of the lawyers aren't even going to take any cases regarding these shots or I'm sure anything related to the mandates and tests for that matter. So yeah,
but no, just, I mean, just real quickly, it was JR, right?
Yes,
correct.
Okay, so JR, yes. Yeah, so we both know that there was nothing in the employment agreement or the contract that would allow this employer to mandate that they take a shot. So, but can they do it? Well, yes, they obviously are, and they have. And in a real system of justice and where we had courts of law, they would be subject to remedy. that would be subject to suit. And so if it was me, I would push the paper into court anyway, no matter what. Win or lose, I'm going to push that paper into court and make them answer. Because at the very least, they have to answer the lawsuit. You know,
well,
whether
there's
or not
gonna
it
have to be some liability.
Rule. Yeah.
Someone's going to have to accept some liability somewhere here in the next year. It's going to have to
right.
be faced and dealt with. Because you've got thousands
right.
of employees across the nation that are losing their jobs immediately.
Right. Right.
It's going to have to be addressed because
right.
over the course of the next year, if we continue down this same path of this just absolutely
right.
craziness, things are not going to turn out very well ultimately. And I'm saying there might
well,
be even blood spilled over this situation. Because
oh,
if the
no,
economy
I
continues...
Can't, I can't see how I can't see how it's not going to happen. I'm surprised it really hasn't happened already. But just keep in mind that they want you to lose your job as much as they want you to take the vaccine. It's part of the agenda. It's either one is good with them. Okay, that's why they're doing it. So they want either one or both. To be honest with you,
they honestly want us to do what I hope does not happen, and that's we actually physically revolt. Because currently, as you've already stated, there is no real court system that is going to step up to the forefront and protect.
Yeah, no, we don't have a political remedy, and we don't have a judicial remedy. I'm not speaking anything that I don't think anybody can disagree with that. No political remedy and no judicial remedy. So, what does that leave us? Well, the first thing it leaves us is nonviolent non-participation. We just say, okay, fine, keep your job. Take your job. You do the job yourself. I'll do something else. That's our first option.
I hope that is sufficient enough to get people's attention. But unfortunately, I don't believe in my neighbors, many of my neighbors, walking that path. Thanks for your time, gentlemen.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate it, JR.
Thank you, JR.
And we have Darren in Illinois. Hello, Darren.
Good evening, guys. It's a real kick to get to talk to you. If I could, if you'd indulge me, I'd like to relate an experience that regards data mining that occurred to me. I think it's kind of interesting. About 5 years ago, I stopped in the morning on my way to work to buy some Sudafed for the allergy season. I always like having some around. They're easy to swallow. They're very small. But you have to scan your driver's license to make that purchase because it's a chemical, I believe, used in the manufacture of meth. And I didn't think a lot about it. I'd bought them before, and I worked. I came home. A doorbell rang, and it was an adjacent community's police department. There was a lieutenant and another guy at my door, and they asked me if I had just purchased Sudafeds that day, and I said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have." And they said, "Could you show them to us? Do you have them with you?" And I showed them my little box of Sudafeds. I said, "Well, there they are, right there." I said, "What's the problem, you know?" And they said, "Well, your friend's on Facebook with a gentleman who's under investigation for the manufacture of methamphetamine, and you made this purchase this morning, and we believe you purchased them for his production of meth." And I said,
"Oh, wow."
I said, "Well,
wow.
I'm friends with him on Facebook. I knew the kid, you know, a few years ago. We worked together." I said, "As far as I knew, he was living in another community, working on diesel engines. I thought he had a job, you know. I didn't know anything about this criminal thing." And the tall lieutenant guy said, "I guess you're going to break. I'll hold on here a second, if you don't mind."
Okay, yeah, we'll hold you over, and we'll be right back. National Intel Report, Richard Carey filling in for John Stadmiller here with Paul in California. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back, folks. The National Intel Report. Richard Carey filling in for John Stadmiller here with guest Paul in California. And we're on the line with Darren in Illinois. Hello, Darren, if you just want to pick up where
Yes, sir. Well, in any event, like I had said, I had these two policemen at my door because I had purchased Sudafed earlier in the day. And they said that they had thought I'd purchased the Sudafed for the manufacture of methamphetamine because I was friends on Facebook with a guy who was under investigation. And what that taught me was that this stuff is hardwired. When my license got scanned for that purchase, because I had an affiliation via Facebook with this other guy, that flag went straight up in the police department's this adjacent community in real time, you know, and they were knocking on my door, you know, and they treated it as though they were very serious. I mean, the tall lieutenant guy kept saying, if you have anything to tell us, you should tell us now. And then this little short guy that was with him kept saying, well, I believe him. I think he's telling the truth. And I just thought, this is almost comical, but it's not. It's actually real. I mean, they're using this as a serious investigation tactic. So that when we're on Facebook, we should consider it like a public billboard, like something that you'd see in the laundromat where people are sticking their business cards on it. It's not private whatsoever. Your chat status, you know, whatever you say in the private messaging or whatever, is not private. And you know, you don't have any autonomy on that forum, on that. You know, another a kind of a lamer example of this I have is I went to a Kroger, and you know, it was later in the evening, and I bought some guacamole, and I scanned my Kroger card when I made the purchase, and I came home, fired up my laptop,
and there was a mariachi band at your house.
Yeah, right. There was a giant guacamole ad on my Facebook homepage, and I never see ads for guacamole. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, it's a funny word to say. You don't hear a lot about it. It's a healthy thing to eat, but that it took, you know, 10 minutes for this thing to appear on my Facebook home screen. This stuff is hardwired. All these data sources are connected like some kind of spider web. And
Do you remember the movie Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson?
You know, I actually do. I did see that movie. Yes.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So there's a lot of good scenes. And you remember the scene where he's trying to buy Catcher in the Rye at the store, and then the next thing you know, he's out on the street, and some quiet helicopters are dropping down guys trying to get him because he bought the book. Yeah.
No, I don't remember that. Yeah. But you know, I haven't seen that in years. You know, it's been a long time.
Yeah, you should watch it. I mean, it's a good movie, and also too, an Enemy of the State, because they do let us know. I really do believe the purpose for a lot of these movies is what they call revelation of the method, and they really do let us know what's either they already have or what's going on through movies. In my opinion.
Right. Another term for that would be predictive programming. They tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think that, in a sense, they feel it validates them somehow, or I don't know the justification, but I appreciate you guys.
And by the way, it was Darren, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a pre-response for the next time. It'll probably never happen again, but the next time a police officer says to you, if you have anything you want to say, you just might as well tell us now, right? He said that to you?
Yes, sir.
So you can use your imagination, but I want you to have this one chambered just in case it happens again. You say, well, I might as well let you know I've been seeing your wife for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
You're going to get a good laugh if you do that.
Tell her to shower more often. But I appreciate you guys indulging me, and have a good evening. Thank you very much. All right? All right.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good one, Darren. All right, let's go to John in California. We may have to take you through the break. Hello, John.
Hi, Richard, Paul, great show. Thanks for filling in again for John. I could think of so many things to say, but Paul said about you took something, or the caller, I guess, bought a drug, and then it shows up on a police thing, and it's right up your front door. What I was going to say about all of this, a lot of people are just paranoid, scared. I think that's what they got us into, a lot of our friends and family. A lot of it's the other thing you're not sure about. You'd want to go, you know, speak up, but you're afraid about many other people will go along with you. It's the authority that's going to come after you. Like what? Armed police, FBI, military, you know, all that kind of stuff. You don't know. That's just the thing. If you were, you knew there was enough people behind you that, you know, I think that's just where they've got you afraid of what, you know, the authority figure is going to be. And if they could, you know, we enough of a stance says no, may find out it's not that big, but you never know until it happens. People, you know, just afraid, that don't want it to happen to them. So,
well, here, stay on the line.
On that.
Yes, sir. Stay on the line. We'll hold you through the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central, and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
She asked me, maybe I could share a sorrow for all the men that try to treat her wrong. Though just a baby awaiting her tomorrow, it's rock me, baby, all night long. She needs an answer.
And we're back, folks, here on the National Intel Report. Richard Ferry filling in for John Stadmiller here with Paul in California. And we are on the line with John in California. And as far as what you were mentioning, I would point out the NSA for years, it has said it's an extraordinary amount of data on Americans, but they don't really have any means of making sense or processing it. It's too random or vague. It's just too much to ever really make any usefulness out of, just because of the sheer mass of it. And these days they're trying to, of course, have specific files for what so-called problem individuals or whatever. But I'll leave it to Paul to give some feedback.
Well, you know, I would just like to add a little bit something else to what Darren was talking about with the, you know, the surveillance state and all that, is I have a very interesting reason why I really will not, or I refuse to stay at a Motel 6. And that's because I believe I found this out in the late 90s sometime, if I'm not mistaken. So I was staying at a Motel 6, and there's coming out, and there was some police there, and they were taking a man out of one of the rooms, and I was a fairly frequent stayer at this one place, and I remember talking to the manager, who I was on good terms with, and I go, hey, you know, what's up with that, you know, situation? He said, oh, I guess he had some warrants or something. I said, oh, well, how did they know he had warrants, or how do they know to come here? And he told me that every night they turn over their guest list to the police department. I said, huh? And he said, yeah. I said, is this like a company policy? He goes, oh, yeah, it's like a company or a corporate policy. So Motel 6 shares their nightly guest list, okay, where you have to check in and show ID. They show it to the police department, and the police department will run those names for warrants. And so a lot of stuff has been going on for a very long time. I never knew this. And when I found this out, I was pissed. And I basically won't really stay there again for that policy that they have.
Darren in Illinois, we're still on the line with you. Yes, sir?
No, this is
no,
John.
I think Darren left. Yeah, this is
okay,
John.
Okay, you mentioned Darren, Paul.
No, I did mention him because he talked about what that Sudafed purchase. But no disrespect to John's presence. I just thought it might be appropriate. Yeah, go on.
Okay, because yeah, no, I didn't think that we kept him on. Okay, no, go ahead,
well, I'm
John.
I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, well, Richard, Paul. Yeah, like I said, you're going back to the surveillance state, and yeah, they've got all this information. Somewhere, and yeah, I don't know anything about it. It may be difficult to print it out, but for some reason, when somebody needs to be, they find some way they can find it. We don't know why. Maybe this thing about what Darren said about found it, buddy, because he bought a drug, and then you have to be on a Facebook with somebody he knows who may be suspected in something, but you just don't know. And the thing is, that's what got people, they're just cowering for this. And like I said, it's fun to listen to this. Like RBN, they got all these new talk shows. Some of the callers even have interesting things that just you talk about Motel 6. Well, I didn't, I wouldn't have known that either. That might be just in that one city. But, they do it. You say, well, you did find somebody who might be a criminal. Okay, but say it's not. It's somebody else that's suspected, but he finds in it. But they, go after him anyway, and they harass him and all that stuff. That's the whole over umbrella with the surveillance thing, and where they'll go after. Just one quick thing about Antifa and Black Lives Matter, all this mayhem and criminality and stuff they've been doing all over, they don't touch him. And I'm sure the FBI, they know who's in those groups. And they could go after them tomorrow and shut them all down, but I think for control purposes, they won't say a thing. But all those people that, are standing up, like I said, the nationalists, white racists, they call them and all that, they'll pounce on them to say, hey, we're making this an act of terrorism and that. That's the
well,
thing.
I think,
that
you're I think you're absolutely right,
you
though,
right.
John, when you say they want you to have more fear of what they are aware of and what they can do than what they actually are aware of and what they actually can do. They want that fear of uncertainty.
Yeah,
they want
by saying thanks to with RBN and that American Free Press, the Barnes, the stuff I've been reading for a long time. Those people bring out stuff to make you think about, here's what's going on that they print, the media doesn't. And you said, okay, thank you very much, and that's why I continue listening to all this. I get it from different people, even callers that experience it or things they've studied. That's what we need. More and more of this, people get in. I tell my family, friends, hey, don't believe, get on this, read the websites, listen to some of the shows. These are people, not spouting just things that popped out of their brain. Some of this really happened. And if you don't, you've got nothing to blame for yourself. You've got one day, you come and you can't do anything. Anyway, guys, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Good night.
Appreciate the call, John.
All right. Thank you, John.
Okay. And then we have, I believe next is Fred in Michigan. Hello, Fred.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Fred.
Speaking of statutory concerns, issues, I believe the Federal Charter, U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, a one-liner, borrow money on the credit of the United States. Borrow money on the credit of the United States. So that precedes Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, 4, whatever, where it's described the monetary system as gold, silver, coin, weights and measures. Kind of a paradox, right? If the central federal government, which Patrick Henry, I believe he was described as a Christian lawyer, he was an anti-federalist. And I'm sure there were several others whose names I don't recall. And they vehemently opposed the Federalist Papers and the creation of a all-powerful central federal government. And the purpose of the Federalist Papers was to stupefy, manipulate the colonial populace into believing they needed this powerful central government. So corporate entities, someone used the word individual about 20 years ago. I surveyed a number of law firms in my venue asking why there were so many law dictionaries, legal dictionaries, Blacks, Bouviers, etc. And most of them said they didn't know. So I came upon a guy, two guys on YouTube, 3 years ago, one of whom is intimately well-versed, exceptionally scholarly in the presentation by the title UCC, Legal Tyranny, Free Yourself. It might be UCC Connection, Legal Tyranny, Free Yourself, but...
Right.
If you want an exceedingly enlightening, liberatingly empowering expose on all things statutory, admiralty, maritime equity. Since FDR declared the national emergency March, whatever, 8th, 9th, I heard this. The same guy that does the UCC Legal Tyranny, Free Yourself, which is a blueprint by which anyone, and it has to be done, okay.
So if I just jump in here quickly, so all this stuff, glad you called and you're bringing this up. It's sort of what I would call the domain for another show. Because there's a lot of very esoteric and in many cases quite interesting things that
you're
saying.
Well, let me interrupt. Wait. You said case law earlier.
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
So the other fella on YouTube, Sovereign Living, he's in Fort Worth. He's another masterful scholar. There's international law. There's one about lawyers, bar members, the first one on bar members. Look
right
into that, because corpus juris secundum it defines what an individual is. It defines that when you are represented by a bar esquire attorney, your status becomes ward of the state. You are deemed
okay,
to be.
Here, okay, just quick. Again, I'm going to pose a question to you. Okay. How many Americans are going into court for any purpose other than traffic tickets? It's very, very, very minuscule. All this stuff is interesting, but it's I know, but here's what I'm going to try to say to you right now.
It's an interesting conversation, but it doesn't matter
today. There is no law, in case you haven't been paying attention, there is no law that these people pay attention to. There is no law that they play by. There is no remedy in the courtroom. I'm familiar with all the stuff. I have a legal dictionary. I know what corpus juris secundum is. I'm very familiar with the Federalist argument. Yeah. All that is great, but it doesn't matter. The Constitution, just like George Bush said, is just a piece of paper. We are in a life and death racial struggle. We're in a struggle for our civilization. It's a broader concept than just the individual. Individually, I haven't been affected that much except being hassled by wearing a mask. But I think that if these people have their way, pretty soon we're all going to collectively be affected. It's a long-term goal they're pursuing, and the long-term goal is our demise. So it's basically we're on the footing of a war or a street fight, and all the Constitution and law cases and everything else is out the window. That's just my
So it comes down to the Federal Reserve being a Talmudic Kabbalah voodoo operation.
Right. The mistake we made is we gave any private enterprise, especially Jews, control over our money.
Oh, God. It's a waste of time. Bye bye.
Well, what are you trying to communicate to us here? Most of us are familiar with the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, well, all right, let's go to the next caller here. We have Bob in Colorado. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we've been brainwashed, and I'm 70 years old, and I remember Dick Tracy with the wristwatches and all that stuff. They've been telling us for so long what's coming, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he had the chip up in his nose and he had to pull it out, all that stuff. And RBN listeners are so smart, they understand what the hell is coming down. But the problem is we are trying to talk to the people and tell them the information we know. And it's like we're the plague. We're the ones that didn't take the shot. And it's just amazing. I was in town today. I live in southern Colorado. And I was talking to somebody at the auto parts store. And he was like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. He goes, the whole government's corrupt. I said, well, I know that. I said, but when you look into what's been going on over all these years, like I said, Dick Tracy. I mean, now we have watches that do your blood pressure and tell you where you are and everything else. It's the 1930s when we got turned over to a corporation, and we are no longer a republic, and it freaking tears my heart out when they keep saying over and over, democracy. We're not a democracy. We are a republic. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about the thing. It's been going on for so many years, trying to brainwash us. It almost worked on me. I'm awake, but I don't know about my kids, my grandkids. I'll listen to you fair, and what a great show. I really appreciate it. Bye.
And Paul, you know, Richard,
well, you know, it just made me think of the movie. Once again, I keep thinking of scenes in movies, and in the movie No Country for Old Men, where the two old sheriffs, you know, Tommy Lee Jones is discussing, you know, the way things are with the other sheriff, and, you know, he says, did you ever think you'd see the day with, you know, people with green hair and bones in their noses, you know? And Tommy Lee Jones made some kind of response about, well, as soon as you see sir and madam, you know, going out the window, then everything else is soon to follow. Something like that, but you get, I'm sure you remember the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, times they are changing, and they're not for the better. And I didn't mean any disrespect to the previous caller. I just felt
I'm sorry. The pace. I'm sorry, he dropped.
The pace he was going and what he was trying to communicate. I just wanted to, you know, kind of cut to the chase because a law show should be a law show, and there's a lot of interesting law shows that I've heard before on RBN and other networks. But in the end, it's not going to help us at this point in time. It's kind of like having a self-defense manual at your feet when you're getting jumped in a parking lot. It's really not going to do you any good. You better know what to do.
I mean, to some extent, being in touch with your local sheriffs for potential off-grid communities, including farmers and people bartering, and I mean, that could be something in the future, of course, so... Yeah, affiliation with the sheriffs and even having good governors like we have in Florida and Texas, relatively speaking, especially regarding the pandemic and these shots. I mean, there's something to be said, of course, for that. But yeah, no, the courtrooms, as I said, regarding the election fraud. And again, now no lawyers want to take up anything regarding COVID or the shots right now because the courts just won't hear anything fairly.
And by the way, too, in my limited adventures in court, and a lot of people have had a lot more experience than I have, and I can give you their channels and their names and the stuff they talk about, but it was amazing to me how often I or somebody I was with was in front of a Jewish judge. I mean, it was just really the percentages just couldn't. But there you have it. You know, it was just like right there. It's like, okay, what are the odds? And I'm talking about different counties, different municipalities. It's like it had to be 40 or 50% of the time, I swear. It's like, my God, what are the odds? But there,
right.
There it was.
And yet less than 2% of the population, right? We have another caller, Charles in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Charles.
Hey, how you doing there?
Good, sir. Yeah, good to hear from
Richard.
You tonight.
Pardon?
Good to hear from you tonight. Yeah, what's on your mind, Charles?
Oh, yeah, good to hear from you. I'd like to say what's his name? You were mentioning Patrick Henry in his biography in COVID, I mean, in... Jenny.com, it's a genealogical thing. It traces, it has a history like of Jefferson or Washington or different people, their biographies.
Okay.
And they quote Patrick Henry as saying about 1787 when we had the Constitutional Convention. Before that, we were under the... It wasn't the president's system, I can't think. But Patrick Henry said, I smelt a rat at Philadelphia tending towards monarchy. A shorthand way of saying, we're going back to the monarchy around 1787, the Constitutional Convention. Those rats all got together in Philadelphia, and I don't trust them. We're going back to monarchy. That's what he's saying. I think that's just what happened.
Like,
everybody wants to glorify American Revolution, but look what happened to me. A few years ago, I had squatters in my house. They attacked me. Couldn't get rid of them. The Sheriff's Department, the St. Pete Sheriff's Department of Pinellas County, do nothing. They, after they attacked me and they came, these two, a guy that had just gotten out of jail for a year and his girlfriend, I couldn't get rid of them. They take me to jail. I'm a diabetic in my 70s.
Oh.
This is justice. I've had people I know that join the Klan. A friend of mine, just framed up by the FBI in connivance with the police department, bombs. You know, a guy that was a former teacher of mine in Kung Fu. He was just a big liar and helping the police frame people up.
Well, here, let's see what feedback we have from my guest, Paul, in California.
Yeah, Paul.
Well, it's good to hear from you again, Charles. That was a little interesting ramble there. The one little piece of feedback I would have regarding monarchies, it's kind of interesting. A lot of monarchies historically were undermined by Jewish intrigue regarding debt. And a lot of times the problems that people had with monarchies was because the various monarchs were in debt to the Jews and increased the taxation. So that's a little part of the history.
Well, you know the Normans, that's 1066, they brought the first Jews. It had been in since the time of the Roman Empire. They brought them to England. The Normans are always in league with Jews, except for a few exceptions like Edward the First. And it's the same thing in Poland. The aristocracy, the Szlachta, was always in favor of Jews because they intermarried with them. We have examples of aristocratic Jewish intermarriage. Take in Sweden, the Wallenberg family is sent from 18th century court Jews. And what the state doesn't own under the so-called socialism, Wallenberg's own. They've had a lot of countries like that, you know. Just that's what happened in 1910 in England. The lesser gentry was taxed by the British government to destroy them. They were the chief enemy of Jewish usurers. And he had Lloyd George, you know, when he created the Welsh member of parliament that wanted high taxing of the minor aristocracy, the gentry. They were a force against Jewish in England.
Mm-hmm. Some good knowledge you're dropping on us there. And I just basically wanted to make the point that there has been such a thing as a stable, monarch that had the interest of his subjects at heart. They haven't all been dictatorial or tyrannical.
Yeah, to 1910, they probably helped preserve, order, real order, for the common people.
Well, good point, gentlemen. We'll have to both each discuss these topics a bit further, but that's all the time we have. Thanks, Charles. I appreciate the call. And Paul, always a pleasure chatting with you, sir.
Thank you. Sorry for the plane noise flying overhead if you hear it, but enjoyed it. Thanks for asking me, Richard.
Yes, sir. Have a good evening. Thank you, folks. Enjoy your weekend. Please support RBN. Your donations keep everything running here. And we will speak again soon. Cheers.
Say, if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.